In their service in the name of the Lord, and for those visiting with us, may the Lord bless you. And we just trust that God will bless His word tonight to our hearts. And we're starting a study on the book of Daniel, and I don't know what I've got myself into. I tell you, there's some stuff in it. It's really so many things in it. I've been up in the upper room most of this evening, just waiting on the Lord and studying and reading and preparing. And tonight I want to just take us back a little bit, how Daniel got in this position of a captive. And I'm going to take my time with it tonight and praying the Lord will help me to do that. Because I could be too quick, throw something out, nobody knows what I'm talking about. I don't want to do that. I want us to take our time and take the detail. And I believe the Lord will bless His own word. Amen. Praise God. And also, I want you to remember me in prayer. I've been invited to preach over a weekend in Limerick. And this young brother, Keith, John knows him, and brother Keith Malcolm. Praise God. And you know, me and brother Keith Malcolm have known other from a long time back. Both of us were in a meeting of Sidney Thompson's almost 30 years ago, and the Lord gave him a word for us two fellas. We're only young fellas then. I know it's hard to take in 30 years ago, nearly. But Keith's really went on with the Lord and the things of God. He's written books, some powerful books, and God's really used him. He's another brother who pastors two churches in America as well, Paul Monson. But pray for us. I'm invited down there. It's not till the 1st of December. Pray the Lord will help us. The Lord will bless the meetings. Also, they're looking for a hall as well, or to buy the place for the hour. Keep them in prayer as well, that God will undertake for that. Also, me and the wife had a conversation this morning about maybe doing our Sunday service earlier, and then a brother had already mentioned it, and he mentioned it to me again. And I thought maybe we should think about it over the winter period, that we start our second service at about 3:30 instead of 6:00. Then you can get home early tonight. Think about it. We don't want you to make no decision tonight, but I want you really to consider it. We'll deliver two services, but we come back at 3:30 for second service. Over the winter, it means you're home and in the heat and not out in the dark, praise God. So think about that and just see what the Lord will have. Let's turn to the Word of God tonight, to the first chapter of Daniel. And maybe I'll just read, have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated, because I want to read quite a few verses just to get the picture. Just let's bow our heads tonight, praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You this evening for Thy mercy and for Thy grace. Lord, we feel so inadequate tonight, even to take up this book. But Lord, we would pray for the Holy Spirit, even as our brother mentioned this morning, that He is indeed our great teacher. And we pray that that Holy Spirit will take of Thy word and divide us a portion tonight, the finest of the wheat, in Jesus' precious name. We would ask this evening for a tremendous sense of Thy presence in this service. We would pray, dear God, that Thou would confound every demonic power and force over every life in this room tonight and every home representative. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ afresh over this house and over every life in it tonight. And we ask for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, for any needs there would be tonight in this meeting, we pray that thou will meet them. Save the unsaved and heal the sick. And fill thy own people with thy spirit, we pray. Father, this evening help us to have clarity of speech. And oh God, that you will unfold to us these great things. We commit it all to thee now. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit. And I do thank you that you undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to read a few verses in chapter 1 to get the picture. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So these fellows that were brought in went into the school. I want you to get that. Now you say, is that right? It is. They had to learn their language, so they didn't do it in a week. Now I know some of you have traveled, I have. How long would it take you to learn the language? Well, you could fluently talk it. Now I know God's hand was on them. But sometimes when we consider things, we think it just happened, but it was over time that it took place. Now you can read through this. I'm not going to keep reading on down to verse 18. Let's read from verse 16. Thus Melsar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, and you see, I want to say the reason, you can read through this, the reason he took it away from them, because they would not touch it, because it would be breaking the laws of God, because it was offered to idols. And I want you to see that this king Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely a heathen. I want to make that absolutely clear. And don't kid yourself to think he's not. Now yet God chose him. God chose him for this job. And the dream and all that he was given, God gave it to him. Yes. But he worshipped false gods. And they offered things to false gods and to strange gods. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to eat the king's portion simply because it was against the laws of God. Amen. And they fed them basically soup. Poultry mix, vegetables. And when they looked on them after so many days, supposing that they were starving, they weren't. They were fair, flourishing, and they looked better than those on the king's portion. Now I want to go back for a moment, and I want you to bear with me tonight as I read this. And I want to start from Abraham to Daniel and take you back a little bit tonight in the history of this. And I have to read some of these things, so bear with me tonight. And I want you to listen intently. And I want you to see this picture, how Daniel became captive. And Abraham to Daniel. Some 290 years after God made the covenant with Abraham, the Jews entered into 430 years of Egyptian bondage. Their captivity ended with their well-known exodus of 1440 BCE, when the Lord provided deliverance through his miraculous parting of the Red Sea. After a 40-year trek in the wilderness, Numbers 14:33, Exodus 16:35, under Moses' leadership, the mantle was handed to Joshua, and he led the Israelites into a highly celebrated period in the Jewish history. Beginning with the crossing of the Jordan into the Promised Land, Genesis 15:16, Joshua 3:1, after Joshua came the golden age of Israel, which reached the pinnacle of its glory under the rule of David in 2 Samuel 5, verses 3, and King Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 38 and 39. However, the dissension reigned after the death of Solomon, dividing the nation of Israel into two parts, the northern and the southern kingdom. 1 Kings 12 tells you that. This discord between the two kingdoms led to their turbulent and blood-stained decline, resulting in the eventual fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, 2 Kings 24, if you want to read it. The northern ten tribes, kingdom of Israel's, choose national idolatry over obedience to the word of God. Consequently, they were the first to be captured by Assyria in 722 BC. Then in the course of time, the remaining two southern tribes, kingdom of Judah, also embraced pagan worship and were conquered by the Babylonians in 586 BCE. This subjunction initiated King Nebuchadnezzar's forced deportation of the Jewish captivity into Babylon. In 2 Kings 25, you read it. In 2 Chronicles 36, Jeremiah 52, verse 12, 1 Daniel, which we've read. These tragic events marked the end of the nation of Israel's first commonwealth. Still amid the carnage and decline of the Jewish nation, the siege of hope remained alive for Israel's rebirth, although the Assyrians completely absorbed the northern kingdom into its vast empire. The Babylonians chose not to colonize the conquered kingdom of Judah. This meant Nebuchadnezzar permitted the Jewish remnant to stay in their land, maintain their identity, and continue to worship the one true God. Only the creator of the universe could have orchestrated this unique situation, guaranteeing the preservance of the roots of Judaism. Therefore, this chapter in history, which recorded Israel as a nation, beginning with God's covenant promise with Abraham to the glorious reign of King David, had ended. And then this is what's to follow, was the exile of these Jews. So this is just to lay out for you how this came about. Now, Daniel continued in Babylon, 1 Daniel 1, verse 21, you can read it. Thus Daniel continued in Babylon to the first year of the king Cyrus. The Assyrians were strategic warfare experts and were viciously aggressive in their dominance over their captured territories. They would forcibly remove the educated and influential upper class of the conquered nation and relocate them in other parts of their massive empire. By doing so, they ensured that the people and the sieged lands would remain pacified. Subsequently, the Assyrians would bring their own citizens to the conquered territory to settle there, which in turn displaced the captured remnant, triggering a domino effect as they lost their land and culture. Through this well-executed tactic of forced relocation and isolation, the conquered people lost their God-given identity. This policy caused the tribes of Israel that were part of the northern kingdom to scatter in small numbers throughout the massive empire, the Assyrian Empire. These peoples are referred to as the ten lost tribes of Israel because they're Semitically disappeared from the pages of history. They silently and submissively assimilated into various ethnic communities throughout the Middle East, resulting in the abandonment of the Jewish identities, including the Hebrew names, culture, and faith. Unlike the Assyrians, when the Babylonians conquered the kingdom of Judah, they relocated over 10,000 Israelites to one location, Babylon, here the Jewish people were allowed to live in a separate community, providing them the opportunity to retain their identity and their religion, which was based on their belief in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After the siege of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar confiscated many priceless temple implements, but he also took a far more valuable treasure, Judah's finest and brightest youth. These young men were taught by their fathers to be loyal to the Lord, observant to his laws. This biblical mandate instrument, Proverbs 3 verse 3, would prove to be crucial for their survival during their time of testing in the Babylonian captivity. They held the word of God dear in their hearts that their fathers taught them. Now I want to pause for a moment, and I want us to consider this very thing here tonight at this part of the service. Our nation and our land is in the condition it's in today because men are not teaching their children the Word of God. No longer is the Word of God the book in the school or the book in anything, but it is now laid aside and no longer used. But we are to be taught the principles of God, and we are to teach our children the principles of God, so that when they grow up, the Word of God says they will not depart from it. My wife mentioned what her brother John mentioned this morning, that woman that was in a so-called religious school, they had put up, many people put it up, Brother Gary saw it, where they put their Facebook up as blacked out. It's a dark day. Now you know that in this last church age, the angel drew it completely black. No light. That's the age we're in. Remember that. And today, the principles have been lost. But here when you read this history of these young men that were captured, they had principles instilled in them. Daniel had them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had them. Principles instilled within them from the parents. And I believe that it's time for us, as all as individuals, to get the Bible back into the home. You say, well, I have a Bible in the home. It might be in it, but we need to start reading it. We need to read the Word of God in the home, and we need to have a family altar again in our homes. Someone that's being lost today because of tradition. Now that woman, I said to my wife, she should have stood her ground. As I was in my office today praying and waiting on the Lord, I could almost hear a film that I'd watched of Martin Luther. And they brought Martin Luther before the Pope and all these hierarchies, here it was, maybe it wasn't the Pope, but the hierarchies, and they wanted him to denounce the things he said, and he stood up boldly, and he said, conscience will not let me do it. And he didn't do it. And we have a Bible today because Martin Luther didn't do it. Thank God for Martin Luther. I believe we need these principles back instilled into our children and into our homes. And I believe that it's been eradicated that. You know, now you're not allowed to say one thing against a homosexual or you took up, but they can say whatever they want about you. It's double standards. But I'll tell you something, we shouldn't back down for nobody. If it means a preacher gets jailed, let him get it. What about it? God will still be with him. I mean that. I'll tell you, the Lord's our Lord. And you know, I might have mentioned it the other night, I might mention it tonight, that there was a stone hewn out without hands. And Daniel foresaw that. He interpreted it. It was part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream or vision. And this stone will destroy every kingdom. That is the kingdom of God coming in this earth. So everything you see here, this Brexit and all this stuff's all the absolute rubbish. In my honest opinion, it's nonsense. God will smash all of it. And none of these kingdoms will stand. And Sinn Féin and all the rest of the Féins can try to be united, and united this, united that. It's going to make no difference to what God's going to do. Can you say amen? There's a kingdom coming that will rule this earth.
The old brethren had it right, I think, when they said they didn't even believe in voting. And William Branham said, I cast my vote on Jesus Christ. It's the right vote. Amen. And it's the Lord we're voting for.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I'm not saying we don't take a stand, certainly. But let me continue with this. Praise God. Nebuchadnezzar had no interest in destroying the kingdom of Judah, though he did demand diligence and subversion. He made great efforts and provided a Babylonian education and culture and religion for his elite captives. Nebuchadnezzar's calculated goal was to reprogram these young men, these young bright Jewish men, through a 3-year indoctrination within the King's College.
Does not sound like a whole lot of logic today. As soon as a young man gets a call of God, they want to take you to college and learn you what Shakespeare said. But these men had a foundation in the Word of God. And when you have a foundation in the true Word of God, no popery or college or whatever will take it out of you. It'll remain in you, praise God.
But you see how he tried to indoctrinate them. But he realized who the real God was. When his astrologers, his musicians, and all his great men couldn't interpret his dream, and they wanted time to do it. Time. And it's not like Brexit. We need more time. Give us more time. I'll tell you, Daniel says, King, I can do it. But the time he took was for an all-night prayer meeting.
Amen.
Daniel went and sought the face of God in an all-night prayer meeting, and God, by open vision, visited him and showed him the king's dream. That's one of these young men here. Praise God. Later he planned to recycle these newly trained Hebrews, leading leaders into the conquered territories as official representatives of the Babylonian government. Does it just sound like God and Moses all over again? Understand what I'm saying here. These men are captured. They're in the house of the enemy. That's where they are. He's trying to re-educate them, learn them their language and all these things to take them away from the real God to a pagan God. And look, when Moses was born, oh, glory to God. His mother said she looked on him and he was a proper child, a godly, a goodly child. And she built an ark of bulrushes because they were killing all the children. And she floated them straight down the river past all the crocodiles. How did he do it? God was with him. Right into the old enemy's house. And he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. Now you can't write that, but that's God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I better watch. I'm getting excited.
The Lord's so good, you know. See, we can look at someone and think, how could God be in it? But he could be. Even I couldn't understand when I started reading this about Nebuchadnezzar, but it was God working in him anyhow. It was God all the time, because it wasn't the devil. Because it was God through him that gave this end time revelation. Praise God. And the man of God interpreted it, we know that. Nebuchadnezzar premeditated plan of and integration along with his suppression of the oppressed remnants should have rationally led to Israel's extinction. However, we must remember that Israel was God's nation through the irrevocable covenant made with Abraham, and nothing, including displacement, integration, oppression, would erase what God had put in motion. The promise God made to Abraham was still working, still coming to pass in Daniel. And this fella didn't plan it to work like that. What he planned in his mind, God done something different. Praise God. Within the despair of exile, the great architect of the ages was not only creating a path to survival for his chosen people, he was also laying the foundation for an imminent restoration of the nation of Israel. To help accomplish these tasks, God anointed and prepared a young man for royal ministry within King Nebuchadnezzar's come the prince, the prophet Daniel. Praise God. Now let me say this, and what I've studied so far about this, and I'm going to read you some more in a moment. It's warm in here, isn't it? It's all right if I take my coat off. You see this book of Daniel. This book is denied, persecuted. People argue that it's not genuine. You want to read about it. I read about it today. You want to see the stuff against the book of Daniel. They say that Daniel didn't even exist. They say when they go into the history of down there, they can't find his name. But you remember this, that king gave him one of his names of his language. He changed his name. And remember also when the name was changed, if you spell it wrong, it mightn't come up, but we know it was there. And I'm going to show you tonight that that's all lies. And I'm going to show you tonight that Jesus in Matthew 24 and in Luke's gospel as well mentions Daniel. And if Jesus mentions him, that'll do for me. Amen. I believe he was real. A real man of God. And even though the discreditors try and discredit him, now the bridge till eternity. Daniel modestly described himself as a Jewish prisoner of war, a servant in Babylon, captivity. However, Daniel was so much more. He was an advisor to the kings, the interpreter of dreams, a model of faith and courage, a prophet of future conqueror and redemption. Most importantly, the accounts of his visionary insight would become one of the vital keys to understand the end days of our generations. These visions of Daniel speak of today. These visions of Daniel foretold the restoration of Israel. They foretell the bride going in a rapture. They foretell the millennial reign. They run us straight into the book of Revelations and right to the end time and the glorious reign of Jesus Christ in this earth. For the stone cut out here now without cause is coming, and it's going to smash all kingdoms and there'll be one kingdom. Amen. Thank God for that. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Daniel, a contemporary of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, was credited with the writing of the book titled with his name, which in Hebrew means God is my judge. Daniel 8 and Daniel 9 and Daniel 10. Jesus trusted Daniel's insights by referring to them in his Olivet Discourse, which was recorded in Matthew 24. Jesus himself quotes Daniel. What do you think of that? Well, I'll tell you what I think of it. If Jesus Christ can quote Daniel, I'm going to preach about it. If Jesus Christ mentions it, we need to be talking about it. We need to mention it. There's too much preaching of things that Jesus never mentioned, never named, and people want to talk about it and shove it down their throat. But the things Jesus says, they don't want to hear about it. But we want to hear what the Lord wants us to hear. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Thank God the Lord mentioned it. Praise God, you can read Matthew 24. His teaching on the signs of the times and the end of the age, Luke 21. The events of prophecies presented within Daniel's writings were meant to encourage and comfort the Jewish people in exile. Through hope in God of Israel, the God of Israel, Jewish scholars teach that the divine hand was preparing the way for the exiles when he placed Daniel in the academy of the king's court. His writings, along with Christ's Olivet Discourse and the book of Revelations, would prove to be the anchors of the bridge till eternity for future generations to come. And these books are very important books. The books of Daniel and the book of Revelations and Genesis is the three most hated books for the devil. And I'll guarantee you, and Brother Joe mentioned the new versions, I'll guarantee you some of them new versions take stuff out of it. I'll guarantee they'll do it. Now, I'm not an expert on it. I haven't spent a lot of time in it. But that would be a good book to get to that our brother John mentioned this morning, where that brother exposes it. When somebody starts to take the name of Jesus out of a book, there's problems. We don't want his name removed. We want his name uplifted and glorified. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Praise God. Now I want to say tonight, and I want to go over some of the things I mentioned on Wednesday night. I won't hold this long tonight, not any more than 2 hours. I'm joking. Praise God, but it won't be too long. Prophecy is twofold, descriptive and predictive. The prophets were both foretellers. They had both insight and they had foresight. They knew what they're talking about. Remember what the word of God says in Amos 3:7. The Lord thy God will do nothing except he first revealed the secret on the servants of prophets. No man could interpret the king's dream. No man could tell the king his dream, but a prophet could. And God had a prophet. And God always has had a prophet through the ages. And who knows who the greatest prophet was? Jesus Christ. Paul said the chiefest of all apostles, Jesus Christ. One verse. Remember I preached on it. I love that verse. It's in there for a reason, isn't it? Praise God. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, when I know it's chapter 2, when you read about the king's dream, and I haven't time to go into it tonight, but after Daniel was told and he learned that the king was going to wipe out everybody, Daniel and all included, all the men were going to be killed dead. Because nobody could interpret the king's dream or vision. He had it, then he forgot it. He couldn't remember it. When Daniel heard about it, he said, I'll do it. And he told him, I'll do it. What did he do after that? In an all-night prayer meeting. That should tell me and you today, when it differently comes, this nation, that's where she fell down.
Amen.
She should have had an all-night prayer meeting. Instead of talks of this, talks of that, talk, we've had more talks than talks. We need no more talks. We need all-night prayer meetings. And Daniel had an all-night prayer meeting and the results were instant. When you seek the face of God, and the Bible says that my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and fast and pray, then they'll hear from heaven. Praise God. And Daniel heard from heaven. Praise God with an all-night prayer meeting. The importance of the study of the prophetic scriptures is seen when we call the two-thirds of Scripture are prophetic, either in type, symbol, or direct statement, and that more than one half of them are yet being fulfilled as a promises and reference to the first coming of Christ. So those as yet fulfilled will be as literally fulfilled if then we would know the mind of God as the future. We must study the prophetic Scriptures or we can remain in the class that the Apostle Peter speaks us as being willingly ignorant. And God does not want us to be willingly ignorant, because the Word of God says that the last days knowledge shall increase. We're living in the last days. I'm going to show you tonight if I can. Many of these scriptures are fulfilled till us. I believe they're all fulfilled concerning us, but there's still some to be fulfilled to the Jews. So Christ could come today. That's why I preached it the other week. Jesus could come today.
Amen.
The scriptures concerning us are fulfilled. Praise God. 2 Peter and chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing under the waters and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I tell you, Jesus Christ is coming again. And I don't care what Boris does, or what the EU does, or the Pope of Rome does. None of them is going to stop the coming of the Lord. Not one of them.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's coming for his own people. Praise God. 2 Peter 1:19 also tells us, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You see, when you take the prophecy from Scripture, it's absolutely sure. Now, the Bible tells us about gifts of the Spirit, and it talks about prophecy that we prophesy in part. We know that. We wouldn't argue about that. But these prophecies of Scripture are absolutely sure. And I'm going to prove to you they're sure tonight. I'm going to show you it from the Word of God. And I hope you can get what I'm saying. I'm not saying prophecies is wrong. I believe in prophecies. But I'm telling you what's already in the Word of God, what we're going by here. We don't need someone that's not in the Word of God. But this Word of God is... Why do you think the devil's against this book? This here's our foundation, our timepost. And he's against that. He wants to change the words of it. Look at this. World, that you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. That's Jesus Christ. So once you get Jesus Christ, you've got a light. Amen? I don't care how dark this world is. If you're seeing, you have the light. You have the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus says, if we don't light a candle, hide it under a bushel. Let the light shine. So if he said that, we're lights. And the Lord wants us to shine our lights. When men see that God has a plan and purpose in the ages, they will take heart and not be discouraged by the things that are taking place in the earth in these last days. But we must not forget, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 tells us. That is, no prophecy is to be interpreted by itself, but in harmony with the whole body of prediction of prophecy on any given subject. It is not to be interpreted to suit the theory of any cult.
Amen.
So somebody that pulls out a wee verse to suit their theory, that's wrong teaching. It must dovetail through the whole entire Bible.
Amen.
So when people preach things that you can't find in the Word of God, my question is, why are they preaching it? They've no authority. If it's not the Word of God, it's without authority.
Amen.
But we have enough of the body of Scripture to preach without going outside of it.
Hallelujah.
And you remember this here. Remember this. When William Branham was preaching on the seven seals, he said that he was warned of God that they will say to you, or is it another Bible? And the Lord said to him, no, it is not. It's in the Word. Because there's only one Bible. There's only one word. It's not another Bible. And it's not added to or taken away according to Revelation.
Amen.
We're not to add to the Word.
Amen.
And we're not to take away from the Word.
Yes.
It must be in the Word of God.
Amen.
And what Daniel said, we have it today because we can read it from the Word of God, from the book of Daniel. God saw fit to write these things of Daniel down in a book called Daniel. Praise God for Daniel. Amen.
Amen.
For the book of Daniel. Thank God for it. God always brings prophecies to pass by literal fulfillment in every detail. When you look at Abraham, for example, and this is what I'm trying to do tonight. I want to show you how God brings his word to pass. It's not a guesswork or a hit and a miss job. It's absolutely sure. 100% sure. No guesswork. We're not working with a guesswork. This is not the lottery.
Amen.
This is a sure thing. A firm, solid foundation. We're anchored in Christ. Genesis 15, verse 13 to 14. And he said unto Abraham, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Exodus 12, verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you worry about the mortgage before you're going. Or they're paying the car back. You'll not be worrying one thing about it. When the Lord takes you, can leave it all the debt behind you. Clear.
Amen.
Somebody said you shouldn't do it. There's my scripture for doing it. I've always preached it. Now I'm not saying get into debt. But you see what the Bible says. They borrowed of their neighbors. It was theirs to start with. But it was God's. Verse 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now you can study this yourself. Not only did God give these women, these Jewish women favor in the sight of the Egyptians, but your Bible will tell you that they buried their children easily and the Egyptians didn't. How many know the Word of God says that? That God's people bear their children easily. In the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the work, God's hand was on them. That's the blessing of God what he gave to Abraham. Thank God for it. So that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. I tell you, the banks need spoiling, brother. Amen. Look at the dirty tricks they've done on people. I'll tell you, there's a day coming for it all. There is. You think they're going to get away with it or not? I better not get away sidetracked tonight. The requirement of property is fivefold number, and five is a number of grace. Now I mentioned five things Wednesday night, and mentioned five more the night at a farm. And I've preached these five before. The five musts and the three must nots of God's choosing. How many remembers that statement? You should all remember that one. The revelation from God must come by a prophet. That's Amos 3:7. It must come by a prophet. God chooses a prophet always to bring his word. Moses, Jeremiah, Abraham, Daniel. Look at the very Noah. All the men were prophets of God. They were men of God. And they had the word of God, and it came to pass. God does not change his order. And if somebody comes along and says, I know you believe that, but it can happen this way, don't believe it. God will not change his way of doing things. And the word of the Lord comes to God's prophets, Amos 3:7. And when God is going to do anything, look at the history of Israel. He sent prophets down to them all the time and give them the word of the Lord. Praise God. So number one, the revelation of God must come to a prophet. Number two, the revelation must be in season. Now you know that Noah built an ark to save the people then, but Moses didn't build one to cross over the Red Sea. God didn't require Moses to build an ark to cross over. God required Moses to stand still and just speak to the water. And a part of how many knows that's the Bible? So God has a man for every generation. Are you hearing that? God has a message for every generation. And the message that Noah had was correct. And the message that Moses had, it was still correct. And because Moses came, well, his message didn't undo Noah's, they're both correct. Because it was all part of God's great program. And remember when you study the seven church ages, the light that lit the first lamp lights all the rest of the lamps. The one is lit from the other. Because they all draw from the one singular bowl, the same oil, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So it's not a different Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit down through the whole history of the church. And that's the Holy Spirit Daniel was working with. So it must be in season. The revelation must be at the time God said. Now God said on these revelations, we're going to see in Daniel, they said something for the end time. It's for our end time. Now we know many of the scriptures detailed today. Jesus himself preached them. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, Luke 17:30, I think it is, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Noah, they went on marrying, giving in marriage. They had no time for God. They had no time for Noah. They thought he was an annihilation. But God judged them. They thought he built a coffin for him and his family. But that coffin saved them and killed them. And when they sought for mercy, there was none, for the door was closed. Judgment came. And the days of Lot, God sent two angels down. And Lot had virgin daughters that never knew a man. Think of that tonight. It's not that today. And the men pressed the house, the Bible says, and they wanted to know the men, and you know, you adults, what that means. And Lot says, I have daughters that never lay with a man, virgins, do with them what you will. And they said, no, we want the men. And the men smote them with blindness, and they pulled that in. And you know, Lot never walked out of Sodom and Gomorrah all hopping. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the angels threw him out. He's reluctant to go. And there's people today that's reluctant to come out of her. But the word of God says in Revelation, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate. Touch that, handle that, the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God's going to have a holy people. And not holy because of a works program. The holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not some rituals or works, but the blood of Jesus and faith alone, in Christ alone, his salvation alone. Thank God for it. The revelation must be written in the Word of God. And Daniel's prophecies here in the Word of God tonight. We're not trying to take someone that's not in the Word of God. We're not trying to talk about someone that's not in the Word of God. But these words we're talking about is detailed. Detailed information in the Word of God. You have to search it. But the Bible says, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. And Paul says, study to show thyself approved. One that rightly divideth the Word of God. That's the Word of God. So it's good to study and it's good to search the Scriptures. But you're wasting your time searching other stuff. How much time does the world spend searching the universe? They want to send men, they've sent men to the moon. They've now built some sort of a ship. Has anybody heard about it? And you go to the moon. I don't know many millions of ticks, but they can fly you there. I don't know long of ticks and all the rest of it. But I can tell you something, I have no interest in going to the moon. None whatsoever. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
And there's no spaceship that man's made that will take me to heaven. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. We're getting out of here.
Amen.
What do you think of that for a spaceship?
Amen.
Number 5, the revelation must be God's choosing. So I don't care what college you come from, or what degrees they have, or what ideas they have. It must be God's choosing. God chooses a man. God chooses what that man will say. That's God's way. And this book of Daniel can't be altered. And it can't be changed. Because some Ricky, it doesn't suit them. And I tell you, the Word of God, even though the schools reject it, even though the government reject it, God's Word's still true. God made man and God made the woman for the man. And he said, multiply and replenish the earth. I tell you, don't get me started on it tonight. It's absolutely terrible. That two men can adopt a little fella. And that wee boy's getting a wrong start to start with. That two perverts could adopt a wee boy and bring him into their home. How's that right? When God said, train a child in the way of the Lord, it's broke to start with. Totally against the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you 16 details. There's more, but I picked 16. I know it's a lot, and I won't keep you as long. If I get through this, we'll stop. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'll quote them. You can mark them down if you want. A brother can put them up if he desires. But for time's sake, and I will go slow. Maybe I'm trying to go too quick. But listen to this. For example, there were 16 detailed prophecies in reference to Christ's first coming that were literally fulfilled during the last week of his life. 16 prophecies. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born were spoken. And this book of Daniel was written many years ago. And it's happening today. Isn't that the Lord? Number 1. Zechariah 11 verse 12 tells where Jesus would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And you know he was. Judas Iscariot sold him for it. Number 2, Psalms 41 verse 9. Betrayed by his friends. These are all prophecies fulfilled in the last week of the life of Jesus in this earth, or before the crucifixion. Number 3, Zechariah 13, 7. Forsaken by his disciples. They all left him. Number 4, Psalms 55 verse 11. Accused by false witnesses. Number 5, Isaiah 53, 7. Dumb before his accusers. 53 and verse 5. Number 6, spat upon him and scourged him. Psalms 22, 16, number 7. His hands and feet were pierced. Number 8, Psalms 22, 18. His garments divided by a lot. Number 9, Psalms 22, 78. Mocked by his enemies. They stripped him naked, mocked him, beat him, then they put a purple robe on him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Mock Jesus. Number 10, given gall and vinegar, Psalm 69, verse 21. How many remembers when I preached the sermon just about vinegar? That was a narcotic. That it numbed the senses of the victim. Give me a moment, I rehearse this. made by the women, a narcotic that numbed the senses of the victim so that they wouldn't feel the pain they were going to go through. And how many knows Jesus suffered like no other man? The Bible says he sweated great drops of blood even before he got to Calvary. They beat him so bad at the whipping post he couldn't even carry his own cross. A black man carried his cross. How many knows that? And he refused to drink. He refused to drink because Jesus wanted to feel your pain and my pain and your suffering and my suffering and everything we're going to go through. Jesus felt it and knew it at the cross. That's why he refused to drink. He loves you. The Lord loves you tonight. Thank God for it. I better get on with it. Number 11, pray for his murderers. Isaiah 33:12. Number 12. Psalms 34:20. Not a bone of him shall be broken. 13. Isaiah 53:12. Crucified with the thieves. 14. Psalms 22:1. His forsaken cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? One of the seven sayings of the cross. Number 15, Zechariah 12:10, his side pierced with a spear, and blood and water came forth under the heart. Blood and water came forth for the healing of the nation. Number 16, Isaiah 53:9, buried with the rich man. That was where he went and he begged the body of Jesus, Joseph Arimathea. Amen? And he put Jesus in a tomb for never man had left. Every single one of these was fulfilled in the last week. So God can speak, but you have to give it time. These were spoken hundreds of years, perhaps thousands, some of them, even before Jesus was even born as a man. But they came to pass in the last week. And these prophecies that the Bible speaks about are coming to pass today. We're living in the end days, the end of time, the last days. Let me say the last of the last days. Now, according to the law, compound probabilities, there was one chance, listen to this, one chance in 65,000 that all these prophecies would head up or be fulfilled in the same individual. And when we consider that these prophecies were made by different prophets during a period of 600 years, and half of them about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And notice how dovetailed together with such marvelous accuracy to describe the betrayal, the crucifixion of Jesus, we cannot but admit that the man who foretold these incidents must have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. They were indwelt by the Spirit of God. No man could do this. This is not chance work. This is the work of the Spirit of God. Rightly divide the Word of God. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished on all good works. It's not the Word of God. Now 5 minutes and I'm closing. Because I want to pray if anyone wants prayer. 5 minutes and I'm going to close. It is not all addressed to us. Part of it is addressed to the Jews, part to the Gentiles, part to the church, part to the bride. You say to the Jews, yes. How many knows there's Jews in the bride? I've heard people say there's no Jews in the bride. They never read the Bible. That lets me know they never read the Bible. Now I know that God deals separately with the Jews. And I know the casting off of the Gentiles are bringing in the Jews. But there will be Jews in the bride. And I'll prove you that tonight. Go to Acts 10:36-48 and you can read it while I'm talking. And when you read Acts 10:36-48, you know what you're going to read? You're going to read that the Jews had the Holy Ghost. And when it came to the Gentiles, they were surprised. Because they were uncircumcised. So the Jews and the Holy Ghost, what's that mean? They're part of the bride.
That's right, amen.
Can you say amen to that? If they had the Holy Spirit, they're part of the bride, because Ephesians says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. God could. So there's some Jews in the bride, but then there's the Jews that God's going to deal with in a day. After the church is gone. The bride's gone. And God will save them in one day, 144,000, and seal them with the same Holy Ghost. And they're going to see here the same Pentecostal message that was preached at the start in the book of Acts. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. These three contribute classes. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Give no offense, neither the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. The Jews and Gentiles are distinct from each other, while the church is composed of both, but is a new body. So every single one that's in the body of Christ is born again. You can't join into it shaking hands or joining a club. You're born into it by a birth. And it's not the doctrine Jesus preached, except the man be born again. John 3, you can't see the kingdom of God. Just a couple of scriptures and I'm going to close. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. And I put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things, the church, which is the body of the fullness that filleth all in all. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Some people don't like to use the name church, but I have no trouble with it at all. I'm part of the church. Because my Bible calls it the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And I'll even tell you better than that. I can show you it in the Old Testament. And Brother Branham made a statement. He said they weren't called the church till they came out. And when God called them out of Egypt, he then called them the church. Amen. And your Bible records that. Because the church means called out ones. Aren't you glad you're called out? You and me were called out of the world into Jesus Christ. We're the real church. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Galatians 3, 27, 28. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Colossians 3, verse 10. This is my last verse. And put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew, neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, but Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. I'm closing because I don't want to hold you too long tonight. Let's stand our feet, praise God. Maybe the musicians can be prepared to play something for a moment, softly. This is just a start. We'll just go as the Lord leads us with it. And I want to say there's two images. Everybody preaches about one. I'm preaching about two. Now you understand what I'm saying. There is the image that Nebuchadnezzar's dream talks about. With the brass and the clay and all them things. And the breastplate and all them things. That's the image. The Media, the Persian and all that. How many knows that? But then there's another image. There's an image of a holy man. What Nebuchadnezzar had put up, and he stood 90 feet high and he was gold. And remember, that's the image of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship. And there is a holy man on the earth today. And the man that claims he's holy, you say, is there? There is, because it says on a seat, vicarious fili dei, in place of the Son of God. In place of Christ. Nobody can take the place of Jesus. Do you realize the Pope said, he said it in front of the cameras to the whole world, don't come to Jesus, come straight to me. I'm sorry, I'm not going to them. I've got Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'm going to pray for people in a moment. Let's close our eyes and be reverent before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, you promised that you've never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ tonight that you'll confirm your own word with signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Father, this evening I thank you for the sense of your presence. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll only keep to our minds that which you want us to know. Help us to speak the truth, for you are the truth. Lord, you said when you spoke to them, you're now clean.
Yes.
Through the words I've spoken to you. For my words are spirit on their life. Lord, we want you. We don't want a holy man or a holy order. But we want the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We thank you that you're coming and you're going to smash every kingdom with a stone-hewn out of the mountain without hands. Let your word be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So is the word of the Lord. Father, bless your children tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray as we come to the end of this service, if anyone needs your touch tonight, I pray you'll touch them. In Jesus Christ's name. If anyone would listen into this recording, maybe they have a religion or a form of godliness, but I pray the Holy Ghost will bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. For you promised it would come to pass in the last days, saith God, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Grant it, Lord, tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I just want a brother to pray, or to play. As he plays, if anyone wants prayer, you come. If one brother's asked for prayer, if anyone else wants prayer, you come. And then when I'm finished praying, for whoever wants to come, my brother can lead us. I'm going to go. Don't forget a Wednesday night service. Pray for meetings. Think about that 3:30 next Sunday. If you think it's a good idea. And just let's pray about all these things. We want God's will. And God's way. God bless each one. Praise God.